Thanks for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. On today's sermon, Pastor Walker will be teaching from his series entitled Deep Rest. As a Christian, your life should not feel complicated. Jesus calls, "Come to me, for all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's listen as Pastor Walker shares how you can handle the demands of the world with joy and face life's challenges with peace in your heart. Now here's Pastor Walker with today's sermon.
Jesus continues. Now his older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, Jesus continues. He summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." Jesus continues. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him, Jesus continues. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you've never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends." In the story that Jesus is telling to express the Father's heart. "But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, the father said to the older brother, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours." In other words, I'm not going to divide by two again. To give your younger brother, he had what he had and he lost what he had. You still have what you have that you've not spent. All that is mine is yours. Verse 32. In Jesus telling this made-up story to express the Father's heart for people. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. For this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. Let me show you something. Find the book of Ephesians. One of the best ways to study your scripture is to let relevant passages of scripture help interpret and fulfill the meaning of other passages. But look at this. This is Ephesians 1, verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Mark these words. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, and to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. "And you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins." Who? Who was dead? The ones who were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. the ones who were known by God and predetermined to be adopted as sons before they were ever born, before there was a sea, before there was a galaxy, before there was anything. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our position. That's our future. That's our home. Though in the meantime, we may find a home temporarily in the far country. But God knows who you really are. Lord, 18 inches. And raised us up, verse 6, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand we should walk in them. But who were we? Dead in our trespasses and dead in our sins. Back to Luke 15 quickly. The scripture says that he came to his senses. Verse 15, 17. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying. I will get up and go to my father. The far country can kill you. The far country can leave you all alone, even though you may be surrounded by millions of people. On the day that Cobain stuck the shotgun to his chin, 75 million albums sold around the world, in a sense, a household name. But at that moment, he was alone. And there was nobody that he knew that had the ability to give rest to his tortured soul. Joplin would sing Me and Bobby McGee, and she would be the psychedelic queen of soul, and millions would just rock and sway with her. But the far country has the ability to kill you, to suck life out of you and leave you as nothing but a form, as a shell. No power to give you rest. But when you come to your senses and something happens and somehow it just begins to dawn on you, where I'm living, it's not who I am. These people that I know and they say are my friends, they are not who I really am. This stuff that I'm sticking in me and shooting up and taking the pills for, it's a joke. It's a temporary, trashy joke. I'm going to go home. The father here is not necessarily your high school street address, the male there. May not be a biological father. In fact, the true expression of this is not that. It's the Heavenly Father, who isn't waiting for you to come home with a baseball bat and a 911 call to get the police on you. It's the Father who, the moment he sees you turn in the direction of home. Look at it. Verse 20. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off. Now this is the Father telling the story through Jesus, God in the flesh. His father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And he said to his son, son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his son, didn't even answer the boy. Started barking orders for celebration and joy. For some reason, I'm impressed to offer this point of application, seeing as how we got so many former rebels in the room. It was not good enough just that the boy came home, came back from the far country. The boy was willing to come back, grown son, we're assuming, an adult, able to have been conferred adult privileges and so forth. But when the son came back, he was willing to come in as work as a subcontractor, as a hired hand. The idea is that there was something about the covering of the father. Just knowing that he was somewhere where he could be protected by the father. He didn't even have to be blessed or hugged or called son anymore, but he just knew he was safe when he was closer to the father than it was out when he was in the far country where nobody cared about him at all when he lost his money and he lost his ability to party. But in the father's house, there was protection. In the father's house, there was safety. In the father's house, there was a sense of decency and order. And how did this worn out, no sandals on his feet, no shoes, they had to give him sandals, probably came home in tatters, put robes on him, clothed him, put shoes on his feet. How did he get rest? How did this runaway rebel get rest? First thing he did was he went to where he knew the father would be. He went for the father. I didn't say he went for the church. Do you hear me? The church can be the meanest, lionest, sorriest place on the face of the earth if all it is a religious, put a plastic smile on, play a little game, quote a few scriptures, sing a few songs, but live like hell the rest of the week. He didn't say find the church. He said find the Father. I'm going to find the Father. Now that's what a bunch of you, you know what's happening in our culture today? There are millions of people ripped as far as church and organized religion goes. But the same ones who may not want to have anything to do with the church, millions of them will say, but I do love Jesus. Ellen DeGeneres, did I say that right? Interviewed a woman. One time my kids said, Dad, you need to hear this. And I got all these gizmos. You put it on their phone and I punch a button and there's Ellen there talking to us. And it was this lady, this woman, and her whole deal was, I love Jesus, but I drink a little bit too. And she went on to talk about her life. I love Jesus, but I drink a little bit too. Well, there can be settings in church settings where there are certain litmus tests, drop dead. You be found doing that, or you be found with that around, then how could you be a part of us? You better run straight to Jesus. You better run straight to the Father's heart. He's not like the church in many ways. Jesus is not organized religion. He's a standalone all by himself. He is love and grace and mercy and truth and conviction all by himself. Jesus. Some people say, why do y'all say Jesus so much? Only name you can trust. Totally. So are you going to fuss at us about being old school and it's just Jesus, Jesus? Well, just take a number. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody would love me enough or love you enough to die for you before you were ever born, knowing the sins that you would commit and to pay for them with his blood in advance, with the desire being that one day that runaway rebel in the far country is going to realize the end of the trashy, foolishness, shallow gamesmanship of the far country and ache for something more and come to himself, come to herself. I want to come home, Lord. This is not who I really am. But you see, Cobain, Joplin, Belushi, if they hit that spot of having an opportunity to come to themselves, they didn't choose right. They didn't make the right choice. They didn't go home. They stayed. Here's the problem with the far country. If you can make a lot of money, and the friends that can go with money, the far country can imprison you in a gilded cage for a long time. The blessing for this young man was that he went broke. The economy turned. He ran out of money. He was hiring himself out as a Jewish young man to feed hogs. How low is that to a Jewish young man? And in that place, came to himself. The shepherd went after the wandering sheep, but the father waited for the boy to come home. A rebel knows the way home. A wanderer just went with the flow. Here's the application. Finish with this. So let's say there was a season of rebellion in your life. And out there in the far country, this gracious thing happened that you began to notice things and feel things. And you look back on it now and you realize God was bringing me to life by his Spirit. He was quickening me. I began to notice things and miss things. And so you came home. Here's my question. In your coming back to the Father, have you received all that he is wanting to restore in you as you come back? You see, some of us can believe that God would forgive us, but we can't forgive ourselves. And so as a result, we come back as a hired servant. The Father is saying, no, you are my son. You are my child. There's some things that have been lost, some things that you wasted. But I didn't change your last name. You're still my son. You're still my daughter. You're still my child. Here's a bedroom for you. The will hasn't been altered as far as who you are. But we have relegated ourselves servants' quarters because we don't believe that we are worthy of the Father restoring and the Father blessing. He said it was material. It was not just the physical or the spiritual part of it. That the Father's compassion was strong, and he greeted the child and began to bark orders for the celebration. But there were physical things that the Lord gave to that boy. Put a new robe on. Shoes on his feet. Material things. But what if the boy had said, no, I can't wear that. I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worthy of that. Listen, you are the one telling yourself you're not worthy and don't deserve anything. When the Lord is saying, the Father is saying, I'm so glad you're back. Everything can't be completely restored in all your bank account, whatever. But that doesn't matter. You're still my child. I want you here. I want the ring, the family signet of identity ring on your finger. You are my child. Lost, but found. Dead, but made alive again. You talk about rest. Rest for a runaway rebel's soul. That my Father loves me still. That he, in his mercy and in his grace, that I know even more now than I ever did, I don't deserve. But you see, some of us still are back over here, and we're here because our conclusion about the Father is that he's only about productivity with me. That he will look at me, he will consider me if I am of some profitable nature to him, if I can produce for him. But all these years of me not being productive and doing my own thing, how could I ever do enough to work my way back into his grace? Therein lieth the rub. It's never been about works. It's never been about us doing enough to undo that. It's always been, oh my goodness. It's always been about amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved and restored and refreshed a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You see, you're not all the way home. You're not all the way home if you have relegated yourself to the servant's quarters. When your Father is saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for the runaway rebel. With the love of the Father freshly received, the privileges of the Father freshly restored, and the provision of the Father humbly received. If he calls you a son, you don't need to introduce yourself as anything else to him. Would you bow your heads with me, please? So, runaway rebel, are you home? Are you home? You're home when you know, when you feel the love of the Father for you in your soul. You know you're home when as burdens come and challenges come, you feel that the heavens are open, the bedroom door is open, his face is available to you, his heart is available to you. Not as a servant, but as a child, to let your request be made known to him. Lord, I just ask you in the power of your Holy Spirit to convince us of your love for us, to convince us of the vastness and the intricacies of your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your restoration. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening power. Rest for the runaway rebel. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't want anybody to leave unless the doctor has just called you. But I do want to ask you to stand and just stay where you are standing. This isn't a dismissal necessarily. Do you know? That he has forgiven you? Do you know that you have not exhausted his mercy? There may be all different levels of being away and distant and far, and the best place, the safest place, who you really are is a son, a daughter in the Father's house. Don't let the cheapy, trashy other voices of this world steal from you the identity of who you are in Christ. Now, you know, you take some of us gray hairs and stoop shoulders who were 16 years old when LSD showed up in Houston. You let us tell you our story about the far country and about the Father's house. You know, the Lord uses rebels. And we'll talk some more about that next opportunity I have. They're bad rebels and good rebels. They're destructive rebels and constructive rebels. But the old brother, the older brother, could appreciate in some ways what he had in the Father's house, but he didn't appreciate the Father's house like that young boy who had seen what it was to sleep with hogs and sleep on a street and run out of everything and to come home. That's why a sure enough 24 carat used to be rebel who has gotten all that stuff out of your system. You were sucked dry, left alone, found your way home. They can come up and test you, tease you with all kinds of temptations. And it's like, would you just please offer me something else? That has nothing to do with what I want anymore. Been there, done that, stick a fork in me, I'm done. Yeah, there ought to be other ways for us to get to that place, but that's why some of us are free of some junk. It's because the junk never killed us. And we can say that's junk. The way of the transgressor is hard. But great is his mercy for those who come home. Come home, come home, come home. Don't know who I'm talking to today. Prayer partners, if you'll just make your way here to the front and we'll be here to pray with you, anybody. But if there's somebody out there, just who you're sitting there, you're hearing this and it connects. I want to come home. I want to come home. I'm not where I've lived. I'm not who I'm with now. I'm not that person. I want to come home. Come to me, Jesus said. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll put rest in your soul. Lord, will you do what's in your heart to do in these moments, in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. If you'd like to know more about Alamo City Church, please visit our website at www.alamocity.org.